home.
Stone rolled away. Oh, praise his dear name.
side of dawn. Will he prove them all wrong? The song rolled away, all praise his dear name. They made a grave mistake. The song rolled away, all praise his dear name. They made a grave mistake. Mistake, they made a grave mistake.
Come on, girl.
Now, amen. Like it. Good to see you guys. My goodness, who opened the door and let everybody in? This place is packed out. We're glad to have you with us. I know some of you are coming to go to the river baptism, and we want you to do that. We want you to be here to celebrate with these that are going to be going down to the river. But until then, you know, you have to put up with me. So I've got you for a few minutes before we go down. Go ahead and stand with me, if you will. We're going to be in Mark chapter number 9. Unbelief. Scotty, come on, listen. I mean, I'm sitting over here, you're telling a story about a little girl raising her hand up, believing that that hand's going to raise her up and take care of her, and I'm just sitting here, you know, okay, we're right on, we're spot on. As usual, God always connects some of the things that we talk about when we open up this morning, so it just confirmed unbelief is definitely what we need to be thinking about today. All right, we're going to pick up in Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse number 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. And he foameth and he gnasheth with his teeth. He pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out. And they could not. He answered him and he said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. They brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, and he wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child, oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire, into the waters to destroy him. But if thou can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. Do you get that? Do we get that? Verse 24 is the key also. Straightway the father of the child cried out, and he said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and he came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said unto him, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Father, as we come to you today, wow, this passage and just the fact of our belief. What do we believe in? Who do we believe in? Are we truly living lives that demonstrate we believe in you? As the man cried out, I believe, with tears in his eyes, he said, I believe, but help my unbelief. God, we find ourselves there more often than not. And I pray today, God, that we bring together what true belief is all about. I ask your forgiveness of my sins. Many times I've doubted you in my life. Many times, God, that I've trusted my own intellect or what my own reasoning might say, what I think needs to happen or needs to be done, rather than listening to the Spirit of God and following you. God, I ask your forgiveness of those many times in my life. And all of us can identify with believing at times and yet unbelieving at times. So, God, help us to see in your Scripture the importance of what belief is all about and truly what dangers come from unbelief. have your way. We're excited to go to the river today. We're excited to stir the waters of baptism. Pray that you be with each one that'd be a candidate today, and just give us a wonderful time together. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Okay, before we look at some things that unbelief will keep us from, or will cause to happen, or rather cause not to happen, I think it's important that we understand something about belief. When we say that we believe in Jesus, Lord and Savior, I ask those of you that are here that are saved, I'm asking you, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You're all going to say, absolutely, right? If you're saved today, you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's not all we have to have. That's all we have to be saved. Don't get me wrong. I'm not adding to salvation. But once we believe in Jesus, it's not just believing that He died. It's not just believing that He was perfect. It's not just believing that He was God, that He is God made flesh. It's not just believing those things to be true from a global standpoint, but it's believing those things to be true in your life personally. Believing He didn't just die for the world, but that He died for you. And so that is salvation, is that belief in Jesus. When the Holy Spirit convicts, and listen, I've had a great time talking to these folks who are candidates for baptism, hearing their stories, or being there when some of them got saved, and seeing what God does. It always begins with conviction. It has to begin with conviction. We don't have a desire to want to be saved outside of being convicted by the Spirit of God. So He brings that conviction. Some of us, it may be just an overwhelming emptiness that we have. It may be a fear that we have. It may be even somewhat crippling, that fear that we have, that we know that something is not right in our life. We know that we're empty. We know that we're lost. The Spirit doesn't really have to say a word. You know what He does? He just literally shows up and lets us know that we're lost. The perfection of God, when it's illuminated in our life, exposes us exactly where we're at spiritually. So He doesn't have to come up and smack you in the back of the head. Hey, you big dummy, you're lost and you need to get saved. But when the perfection of God shows up, we see ourselves where we're at. We see ourselves as lost, as empty. A lot of things can define a lost condition. Emotionally, we feel terrible. Something is not right. As a 7-year-old kid, when I got saved, I didn't understand the depth of salvation. I only knew that I was feeling terrible and empty, and I knew that somehow Jesus was the answer to the problem I had. That's what I got when I was a 7-year-old kid. So the Spirit made me feel empty. The Spirit made me identify with the fact that I was lost, even though I didn't really understand all that. And so I went running into the house and I asked Mom and Dad, what does it mean to be saved? How do you get saved? And they shared with me. The next day I went to the altar and prayed. Preacher Bill Cantrell knelt down there, big, long, tall Bill Cantrell, and prayed with me, you know, and I just cried. I just wept on the altar. And he said, son, did you, you know, after I got done, he prayed a beautiful prayer. I loved to hear him preach, and I loved his voice, and we got done praying. He said, son, did you ask the Lord to come in your heart? Did you ask Him to forgive you? And I went, yeah. I don't know that I ever said anything. But I knew I needed Jesus, and I knew I was empty. And somehow or other, that little 7-year-old kid asked Christ in his heart. So there is a belief that we have when we get saved, right? Otherwise, we can't get saved. We believe in Jesus for salvation. Now, what happens after that moment of salvation is what happened to this father of this son, that he couldn't fix what was going on with him. This is a daddy that had a boy that was possessed. A daddy that loved his son and would have done anything for him. He would have died for his son if he'd asked, I'll take this away from your son if you'll just die today. And he would be willing to die for his son. But this was a situation that was out of his control. Now, I'm not saying the dad didn't believe in Jesus, because he acknowledged that he did. I believe in you, Lord. That's the reason I'm coming to you. I believe in you, Lord. But he said, help my unbelief. So there's something that happens after the moment of salvation that we need to be conscious of. Just believing Jesus as Lord and Savior, obviously that seals us with the Holy Spirit. Obviously we're confident that when we die, we're going to heaven. We know that to be true. That belief saves us, seals us. But we still, until we go to heaven, got to live in this world. And we got to deal with the circumstances and the situations and the opposition. We still have to live in a world filled with sin. So at times it is difficult for us to hold on to the fact of believing that I believe Jesus for my Savior and salvation of my soul, but I'm not so sure that today in the situation I'm in my family or the situation I'm in at work, that God's direction is really what I need to do. That's the difference between saying, I believe, but God help my unbelief. Some of us expect after we get saved, everything just be hunky-dory, and I'm always going to do the right thing, and it's always going to be good, it's always going to be beautiful. You are sadly mistaken if that's how you believe. Because when we get saved, we're not ushered into heaven, we're still here, and we still have to deal with the same things that have always been here. So that's why I was led to this subject of unbelief, because I don't want us as Christians to get the misconception to think that, well, I believe Jesus as my Savior, so I'm good to go. Yeah, we're good to go as far as going to heaven. Yeah, we're good to go as far as knowing we are sealed and we're locked in. Our soul is anchored within the veil according to the Scriptures. I'm a lock-in for salvation. But until I get there, if I'm not choosing daily to believe the leadership of the Spirit of God, I'm going to be above all men most miserable if I'm not letting God have His way in my life. So can you believe and still unbelieve? Absolutely. And it seems a little bit ridiculous to think, how can you believe and yet unbelieve? I can believe Jesus for salvation, but I can sure choose my path over His path in my daily life. So I wanted to bring that point to light before we really talk about some things that this unbelief will keep us from. The number one that I came up with is blessings. How many things have we cheated ourselves out of because we chose not to believe God? Well, we said, it's not that I don't believe God, I just don't always do what God wants me to do. Is that not the same thing? You know, we can say that we believe God every day of our life. We can say that I believe that God's direction is always perfect. God's direction is always right. I believe that God will never instruct me to do anything that contradicts His Scripture. We can say I believe that God is always going to show me what is right in my life with a desire to want to be a blessing to me and let me be a blessing to other people. We can say that with our mouth, but our actions show otherwise. So it's not so much what we say that determines our belief system, but what we do is what determines what we believe. What's old saying, actions speak a lot louder than words. They really do, don't they? God's not looking for some lip service for us to, oh yeah, I love you, God. I praise you, God. I believe you, God. I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. And then turn around the next moment and do exactly the opposite of what the Spirit's leading us to do. We cheat ourselves when we choose not to believe in God. There's a passage of Scripture in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 3, which I didn't get this to begin with, but it kind of came to light, and I want to share it with you. This is when they're coming into the land of Canaan. They're starting to possess all those places. They're going to possess Jericho and all the other cities. And here's a verse in verse number 3. It said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you as I said unto Moses. Now remember, I said believing is not just talking about it, but doing it. The only way they're going to possess the land is first they have to believe and walk on the land. They're only going to receive as much as what they're willing to put into it. So we cheat ourselves out of blessings when we're not following the leadership of God. He literally said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I give to you. What if they got to a body of water and they got in a boat And they crossed the sea and went to the other side. And what if they just kept walking? Would they have possessed all the land that they wanted? I think in order for God to be God, they would have kept the promise. And yeah, they would have got everything they walked on. How many times do we say, okay, you know what? I'm just good with this right here. I don't got to have all that over there, God. Even though you're telling me this is what you want me to do, and you're telling me this can be ours, you're telling me great blessings, I'm good with just these little blessings right here. Have you ever done that in your life? Why do we settle? And why do we say, well, I'm just okay right here, when God has greater blessings ahead for us? You know why we refuse to do it? Because we don't want to commit ourselves to what it's going to take to get there. We don't believe. We don't want to commit the time. We'll say, I believe God's true and I believe God's word's right, but man, it's going to cost me a whole lot to go over here and get involved in all this over here. Well, we're just saying, I just don't believe God. I don't believe God can get me through it. I don't believe God can equip me and provide for me what I need to cross that path or that trail. I'm just not believing God to be God, and I think I'm smarter than him. So what's going to happen is we're going to cheat ourselves out of blessings. When Elisha called for him to come and say, guys, dig ditches, dig holes, and water's going to come to furnish for your animals and your beasts and for you to prepare you for battle, and some of them dug deep ditches, some didn't dig at all, some scratched the surface. So what they got what they put into it. They received water according to their belief in God. Now, salvation is not that kind of belief. It's not what we put into it that saves us. It's what Jesus did for us that saves us. Don't confuse what we're talking about. We're talking about after salvation. It's that relationship. Salvation is unconditional. You do absolutely nothing to be saved. He does all of it. So you can't lose what you're not keeping. Amen. Thank God I'm not keeping salvation. Thank God I don't have to be good enough to remain saved. I'm saved because I believe in the finished work at Calvary and what Jesus did. But after salvation, our relationship becomes very conditional based on what I do, based on how I believe or choose to unbelieve in God, based on whether I'm obedient or I'm disobedient to God. So we must understand that's where this belief and unbelief comes in. Yeah, I believe Jesus for Savior, but am I truly living that life to glorify him? Am I praying? Am I reading? I'm cheating myself out of blessings if I'm choosing not to believe in God. Second is greatness, or rather, I like to say victory. We're going to cheat ourselves out of some victories God wants us to have. If we're not believing in God, you know what? We're going to be very defeated in this world. We're going to miss out on a lot of wonderful experiences, a lot of wonderful victories that God wants us to have. I'm not just talking about winning a ball game, but I'm talking about seeing things conquered within our life and within our relationship to God. In Judges, a very interesting story. If you've ever wanted to get in the Bible and look at a book that is very, you say, hey, what's the strangest book of the Bible? I got to say, Judges is pretty strange. But in Judges chapter 4, we see Deborah and Barak were judges at the time, and she came to him and she said, the enemy of God is out here, and God wants you to step up and be the man to lead them into battle, into victory. It's not my calling, Deborah said. It's not my job. God's telling you he wants you to step up. And so here's what happened. Judges 4, verse 8 and 9, Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. So he's saying, yeah, I'm going to go into battle and fight the enemy of God if you'll go with me. I'm scared to go by myself. I'm scared to follow God and honor his word by myself. So he said, I won't go if you don't go. She said, I will surely go with thee. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera, which was the king at the time of the enemy, into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. So she's saying, listen, God's telling you, you lead them into battle. And if you're not willing to believe God to give you that victory, then God's still going to conquer the enemy, but you cheated yourself out of a great victory that God wanted you to have. So here's how the story goes. They go into battle. All the people except this Sisera is killed, annihilated, and Barak had part in that. But this king went running into a neighboring nation trying to find some safety and sanctuary, and he found a lady that said, "Hey, come on in. It's all good. You can stay here, and I'll hide you in my tent." And so he went in and hid in her tent, and while he's laying there, he said, "Get me a little something to drink. I'm thirsty. I'm parched." So she gave him something to drink, and she covered him up with her mantle, you know, a big blanket or a quilt or a sheet. And while he's there sleeping, she said, "Don't worry. As long as you're here, you're going to be okay." She went and got a big tent peg about that long and a hammer. And while he's laying softly on the side of his head, she drove it straight through his temple into the other side and stuck him in the ground. That'd be a tough way to go, wouldn't it? So the victory was hers. Why? Because Barak cheated himself out of a great victory. Now listen, God's word is still going to be done whether you choose to be a part of it or not. But here's the beautiful thing about God. He wants us to be a part of these things. He wants us to experience great victories in our life and be a part of great things. Why do we think that God calls people to do certain things? Because he knows they're right for the job, and God wants them to be a part of that victory. He wants to build their faith, to build their relationship with him, and to build that courage that they need in their lives. And God wants the world to see that he can take somebody like you and me, we're just nobodies, and he can do great things through us if we just believe. So great victories we're cheating ourselves out of if we're not standing for God. So we must believe that God is wanting to be about great things. I mean, if David hadn't have gone and stood against Goliath, I don't know that he still would have been king. Do you? God knew that David was going to stand against him. The giant was going to fall. I wonder, would David still have been king if he hadn't had the courage to believe God and be a part of that great victory over Goliath? It kind of set the pace, didn't it, for him to be established as the next king. What if Esther hadn't decided, yeah, I'm willing to be in this line to be one of the ones chosen to be the next queen over the people? If she hadn't chosen to follow that path and believe God, I don't know that she would have been there to save her people. Many of the Hebrews would have died if she hadn't been in that position. God doesn't call us into positions so we can be lifted up. God calls us into certain positions so he can perform great miracles and great victories through our lives and in the lives of other people. It ain't about us. But if we're not believing, you know what we're doing? We're cheating ourselves out of great victories that God wants us to have. Thirdly, vision. There's a great story when you look at the life of Elisha, and he's one of my favorite Old Testament guys. I love to look at the miracles that were performed through his life, through his ministry. And there's instances when the Shunammite woman that had made a little place for him to come when he passes by, he could go in there and sleep. They called it like a prophet's house or a prophet's room. She saw him traveling back and forth, and he would go different places and share the prophetic word of God. So she said, "Let's make a little house," told her husband. "Let's make a little house or room connected to our house. He could come and sleep in and rest." That's exactly what they did. So he was there, you know, resting and found a place to recover his strength. And so he said, "What can I do for you?" She said, "Well, I don't need anything. I just did this because I wanted to honor God." He said, No, you've been so good. He said, "You know what? God's going to bless you with a child. I know you don't have a child, but God's going to bless you with a child." Sure enough, it wasn't long. She became pregnant and she had a child, and the child was such a blessing. And so the child fell sick one day and the child died. And so she took the child and put him on the bed of Elisha's little prophet room that was out there. And here's what she did. She ran to Elisha, because she knew and she believed in her heart that if I can just get to him, that I don't know what he's going to do, but he's going to do something. And so in speaking of visions and discernment and insight. Here's what happened. She came running to Elisha, and Elijah heard from his servant. He said, here comes this woman, and she looks troubled. She looks like something's wrong in her life. And Elisha said, there's something going on, and something's not right with her, but God has kept it from me. You ever catch that? I thought, okay, so what does that mean to me then? It means that Elisha is used to hearing from God. He's used to seeing things before other people see him. He's used to discerning things that others are not really able to discern. He's used to getting some insight. And I thought, man, how do you get there? How do you get such discernment and insight? And how do you get that vision? By having a close walk with God. That's the only way it can come. The only way we can see better spiritually is to get closer to God. So he saw. Later we hear about when he was with his other servant. The enemy had him surrounded, and so Elisha went out and he said, God, open the eyes of this servant so that he can see. Greater is the number with us than the number that is against us. And when he opened his eyes, he saw into that spiritual realm for just a minute, and he saw the flaming chariots that were gathered around of angelic beings that surrounded the enemy, that surrounded them. And man, they started to celebrate, and I'm thinking, my goodness, did Elisha just see that all the time? Maybe he did. Probably scare me to death, wouldn't it? You scare you to death to see into that spiritual world sometimes, see what's going on there. But we can have insight, we can have vision, we can have discernment if we're believing in God, because sometimes God's saying he wants you to believe it before you can see it, right? God wants to know where your heart is before God starts to open up certain things in our life, and it comes from us choosing to believe every day that God is who he says he is. And the last one, which is the most critical, obviously, is salvation. There's a verse I don't know if y'all are familiar with in John chapter number 3. I'm going to read it for you. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, and let's stop for just a minute, whosoever does what? Whosoever just thinks about Jesus, whosoever goes to church, whosoever has a daddy that's a preacher or a deacon, whosoever had great mama and papa that sung a lot of old hymns. Those can all be true, but none of them things are going to save anybody. He said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Unbelief will keep us from salvation, and unbelief will keep us from a right relationship with God. We must believe in Jesus Christ. So when we get to this point and we think, well, I understand belief is what saves me. But after that moment of salvation, How do I live a life of faithfulness then, preacher? How do I be one of those people that, yeah, I'm a believer, man. I believe not only for salvation, but I'm believing, I'm following God, and I'm doing what God wants me to do. How do I become that person? Because I struggle every day with that. I know I'm saved, but man, I have a hard time when I'm pressured by my peers. I have a hard time when certain temptations come in my life. I had a difficult time when God leads me to do something that I'm afraid is too great for me, and I'm not able to do it. How do I deal with those things, and how do I increase my faith and my belief? I mean, the answer's simple. You got to talk to God, and we got to listen to God. The more I talk to him, and the more I expose myself to him, the more I give of myself to him, and the more that I hear him through the Holy Spirit, the more that I hear him by reading his word and let him speak to me. You know, there's some people that say, man, I pray all the time, but I still struggle. Well, we're just doing half of it right. Some of you may live in a marriage where there's only one vocal person and the other one just kind of is real quiet all the time. Maybe we need to shut up and listen a little bit every once in a while. Did I say that out loud? I really didn't mean to say that out loud. I'm not looking at anybody in particular. I'm just saying. In our relationship with God, yeah, we can pray. Oh, I just pray driving down the road. I just praise God, and that's wonderful. But do we listen to God and let Him speak to us? Do we get in His Word? Do we read what He said? We'll go to people. Man, I'm a prayer, but I just don't know what God wants me to do. Well, have you gotten His Word? How long has it been since you've let God speak to you? Yeah, we need to open ourselves up and expose ourselves to God, but also we need to listen to God as He speaks to us through His Word, through the presence of the Holy Spirit. When they get up here to sing those songs, man, that's God speaking to us. Let Him speak to you. Let Him talk to you. Let Him tell you what you need to do. When you're driving down the road, listening to those songs on the radio, or you're listening to a podcast of somebody expounding the Word of God, let God speak to you back from His Word. That's what builds that confidence. That's what builds that belief. And that's what will get you where you need to be with God. You want to say, yeah, I'm not just a believer in Jesus as Savior of my soul, but I'm also a believer in Him to be Lord of every day of my life. That's a great place to be. If you're not there, this would be a great time to get that fixed. You can start right now. God, I want to commit to You. I want to quit living a life of selfishness, and I want to be a believer, not just in salvation, but an everyday believer in You. I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you're saved or unsaved, or if you're saved, if you're out there somewhere just still doing your thing. Don't be miserable. Be blessed by choosing to believe in God. Stand